Hello, welcome to another episode of the Hope Motivates Action podcast. This week's guest, Jenny Smith, is doing important work that really resonated with me. Jenny's mission is to support people with aging parents who may not know how to navigate this stressful and confusing time when the roles we're used to are reversing themselves. Listen in as Jenny shares her lived experience supporting two parents with severe health challenges, compounding the already difficult situations and conversations many of us might be experiencing right now. You'll hear how she uses grace and knowledge to both practically and compassionately guide us through the unknown and support us when we need it the most. As always, if you're interested in any of the books, resources, and tools mentioned in this episode, all the links you'll need can be found in the show notes of your favorite podcast player, or head to the blog and pod page of my website at expertinhope.com, and you'll find them all there too. This podcast is a labor of love because I know that spreading hope for a future better than today has incredible power. Conversations like this one really reinforce that hope. So without any more delay, let's get to it. Hello, welcome to another edition of the Hope Motivates Action podcast. I am your host, Lindsay Recknell, and I have Jenny Smith here with me today, and I cannot wait for you to meet her. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
I'm so excited for you to be here. Jenny and I have known each other for I want to say like 10 years now. We started working together a whole bunch of years ago on a HR project when she was in her old career of human resources, and I was doing random program support for a big transformation. But we hit it off as humans. I think one of the things that draws me to you, Jenny, is your spark, your energy, your character. And I think I'm so excited for other people to hear your story and hear how you're spreading that joy and sharing that spark with other people. So thank you for being here with us today.
Oh, Lindsay, that touches my heart. Thank you.
I am going to read your biography so that people know the formal side of you, and then I'll pass it over to let you share with people who you are and what you do. Jenny's passion for work is grounded in her experience as a daughter, a mother, an entrepreneur, and a compassionate human being on the planet. She turned 42 this year, and she feels like she's never been more alive and more vibrant, which sometimes seems almost hard to believe given some of her life circumstances. Jenny is classified as living in the sandwich generation. She cares for both her parents and her school-age son, Julian, who is 9. She's also a single mom and a business owner that only recently left the stability of a corporate job after 14 years as a senior HR professional. When you put all those things together on the surface, she wonders how she might have managed. And some days she feels like she doesn't. But what she does know is that even though it's all a roller coaster, it is just that. It's the ups and downs that can be both heart-opening and heartbreaking. Realization that perfection is unattainable and ridiculous to even chase, but she still manages to lead with passion, compassion, and love. And now she's embarking on her greatest journey, her latest journey, in the support of her aging parents and teaching other people how to live their best life while also supporting those that they love. Jenny, you're doing incredible work.
I couldn't have said it. It's funny because I did write that, obviously. So, and I couldn't have said it any better. You know, I'd love to share a little bit about my journey.
Yes, please.
How I came to do this work. Is it too soon for me to jump right into that?
That is what I want to hear next. Please go.
Okay, perfect. It wasn't something that I dreamt about doing when I was a kid. You know, it's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the journey to this, you know, the decision and really the pangs that I had in my life that told me that this is absolutely what I needed to do for other people was through the thick and the thin and the good, the bad, and the ugly of my experience of it over a period of, now it's been a couple of years. And my dad actually, and I've got some great stuff on my website just telling the story of all of my family members. And my dad had a stroke when I was 19. And at that time, it was a fairly debilitating stroke, and it really forever changed the relationship that we had and some of the roles that we had. And so that was I was in my youth. I was going to university. I kind of went off and did my thing and, you know, did what I could for my dad. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago when my mom had a diagnosis of dementia, we learned that she had fairly advanced macular degeneration, which sadly I didn't know or realize or help her point to, until it was a little bit too late for us to really kind of have some of the more early interventions. But it all kind of felt like it came crashing down. And this was right in the midst of me doing a really intensive leadership program where I was really working on myself and really figuring out a lot of stuff about myself. And so through that journey, and the program was about 10 months, from the time that I started the program to the time that I finished it, my mom was diagnosed with dementia, had several falls, spent some time in the hospital. We got her care in her home to see how, you know, if that was going to work for her, and then had to then shift to moving her into a care facility closer to myself. So she's about a 3-hour drive away. And so I was doing a lot of back and forth. And so in the period of 10 months, we went from her living independently to her living in a care home, a 15-minute drive from me. So it was like a significant change during that period of time. And it was this big, like, oh my gosh, like what just happened to me in, you know, and what just happened to my mom and all the ups and downs. And there were people in my life that were saying, Jenny, like, look what you've done. Like, look what you've accomplished. Look what you've noticed. Look what you've realized about yourself. Look what you've realized about your mom. Look what you've had to explore in terms of your relationship with her, your relationship with your brother, you know, the impact this has in the relationship with your son. There were so many things going on. And I realized that this was it. I don't have some kind of incredible formula, you know. I hope to get a little bit more refined as time goes on, but like while I've gone through a lot, I am still in it. Both my parents are still on this planet, thankfully. And there's still lots more to do. And I still have the ups and the downs and all that sort of jazz going on all the time. And there's not a lot of people doing this kind of work. And I just feel absolutely called to be there. And I like to think of it as like a partnership. Like, we are on this journey together. And okay, yeah, I've got some wisdom and I want to share it with you. And I want to try and help people with some of the things that I really stumbled on, and just make those things easier so there can then be a focus on the things that are most important to that person. So.
What amazing, incredible, important work. I don't have a child, but I also have parents who are, you know, fortunately still healthy and independent, but we are looking down the barrel of that, you know, that future. And I know that through all the conversations that you and I have, it's really made me more self-aware of what I'm not prepared for and the kinds of conversations that my sisters and I haven't yet had and my parents and I haven't yet had. And I think one of the things that's has really come up for me in some of our conversations is your grace in how you approach those kinds of conversations. And I'm wondering if you could share kind of how do you open the door to those conversations, whether it's with your brother or with your parents? What's your strategies on opening those conversations?
It's funny. I'm sitting here smirking a little bit because the recognition that truly is one of the hardest things. And I think as you start to notice, and as you were saying that, I was thinking about the moments when you start to realize that something is changing, something is different with your parents. You know, it may not be some kind of major significant event, but some small things that you're noticing. And the easiest thing, and in some ways the natural human instinct, just to be sitting there in the face of your parents knowing that things may be forever altered going forward, is to avoid withdraw, ignore, and not face it. And I think it's a natural response to, you know, the realization that, you know, one day your parents who brought you into this world and cared for you and nurtured you, or whatever it is that your relationship was, your parents, and that's going to end one day. Coupled with, holy crap, this can get really hard. And I know, and I've heard stories, and I don't really know how to do this. So I'll just avoid it for as long as I can until I'm forced to. And I think that's what a lot of people do. And I'm not going to say there's, you know, something really wrong with that. But what I can say is I think the intentional nature of heading in, you know, hitting it kind of head on, you know, it is going to be hard at times. You are going to struggle. It's not going to be easy. I think the important thing is that you just start somewhere, and having those tough conversations. I mean, you know, I've got my training in HR. I've taken various different, you know, courses and know all the theories and stuff on how to have a difficult conversation. What difficult conversations never become is not difficult. They're always going to be difficult.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, and, you know, the more you do it, the better you hone the skill, of course. But I think that a couple of the words that I used about how you're leading with those conversations and leading with compassion and really speaking from your heart. And that's the best way to go into a difficult conversation, is to just speak what's honest and true for you. And from a place of, I'm here with you, and I want to support you, and I want to help you. And, you know, I would say there's a number of different ways, depending upon, relationships are just so complex, and I've got my story, and Lindsay, you've got yours, and everybody else has like the different complexities in their relationships. But I do believe that, anything is possible, but I think that's kind of where I'm just going to tie in a little bit of the hope bit here, you know, is that's kind of a part of where like hope lives, like hope exists. And I'm going to step in. I'm going to have this difficult conversation. I want to go, I want to give it a try, because I'm hopeful that that's going to have an impact, that we can help get where we need to get to, whatever the thing is that we're working towards, whether it's, you know, figuring out what your parents want in terms of a care plan. Like, you know, do they want to go live in a care facility? Would they like to be taken care of in a different fashion? You know, do they have a will? Do you understand their finances? Like some of these really kind of like I'm going to say ugly, but like the tough ones that like are difficult for a child to then have with their parents. And they were the ones that were sort of helping them along the way, you know, with those sorts of things. So, it's just like, it's about having the hope that I'm going to step into this, and it might not be easy, and it might get messy. And boy, I have had some messy ones, Lindsay. But they've always helped move things forward in some way, even if in the moment they feel like you're taking a step back.
That action piece. I mean, for me, anybody who listens to this podcast knows that action is so closely tied to hope and making that future better than today. And I hear you say that a person must step into and must take action to have those conversations, because avoiding them is not going to make it any easier. In fact, it will continue to make it worse. And so I really liked how you tied it into that hope, because it's we want a hopeful future for ourselves, for our families, for our parents. But we can't do it without taking those steps, as no matter how small or large or backwards they might feel like in the moment. So, that's awesome. I'm totally aligned to that. One of the things I wanted to ask you is, so now we're being brave and we're having those conversations. What if they don't go awesome? What if the generation which our parents grew up in is a tough one as far as mental health conversations go in the first place, right? And they are embarrassed or uncomfortable with those kinds of conversations. How do you respond in those scenarios?
Yeah, this is when it really is hard, because sometimes you enter the conversation, you're actually surprised how well it goes. I'm just going to throw that in first, because that's possible too.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're going into a conversation and it doesn't go as planned, and I've got one of those that just happened a couple of weeks ago, and I stepped in bravely. I didn't react or communicate in the way that I had intended, despite being intentional about having the conversation. But what I did that's different, or that something that a person can do differently is what do you need to do to clean it up? Or what do you need to do to try something differently? Or how do you then engage back with that person? So it's like kind of mopping up your mess. And there's different ways to mop up your mess. And it really depends on what you know about that person. And, what are kind of different options that you have that you build. And this is where I think some of the stuff with my work comes in, is like, I can help people figure out what the right thing is for them. Cause there isn't some kind of magic, here's the recipe. It worked for me. It's going to work for you, because you're the one who knows your family best. But it's the responsibility for impact, which can take many forms. So is it, I'm just going to wait a little while on this, and then I'm going to give myself a couple of days, and then I'm going to reach out again, and I'm going to try this a little bit differently. Or I know that I've really hurt them, and what do they need right now to know that I love and care for them? And that can come in many forms. It might be, okay, the conversation didn't go well. I'm going to follow up with some other type of communication, or I'm going to make sure that somebody goes in to check on them. Or, if you do have a sibling that you can partner with, or somebody that you can partner with, use your resources. And also you're going to have to quite possibly have to pick yourself back up again. And sometimes that just takes a little bit of time. And as long as you remain intentional about knowing, why am I doing this? What's important about this? When I step into this, so it's like, keep going back to, and this is really super common in the business world, is understanding your why. Being firmly grounded in why you're doing it. And that's part of the buildup. Because if you just blow up in a conversation or something comes up and it wasn't intentional, those are harder to mop up. But if you're intentional about your conversation, you give yourself the time to really, as I say, I've got my arm up here, because it's like putting the stake in the ground for knowing that this is the right conversation that needs to be had, that you're doing it for the right reasons, that you have the interests of all parties in mind. And so you might falter away from that stake, but you're coming back to that stake. And knowing that you might have to move the stake a little bit too, but it's here. And that intention is what really creates your ability to keep going back to it and, continuing to move things forward. If it's something that you, is important to you and is really important to the relationship with your parents, and important to them and their well-being and their happiness.
I love doing these on video because I love to see the passion and excitement and energy in just the way that you hold yourself. And I know that something that you always tell me is that the way we hold ourselves is reflected on how we care for others. And I think as you were speaking, I was kind of visualizing preparing for these kinds of tough conversations. I would almost stand tall and be, confident in myself. And I imagine people listening are also maybe putting their shoulders back a bit and standing a little bit taller. And because then if you can feel confident, that's going to, and intentional, like you mentioned, show in how we care for others and how we approach these kinds of conversations. And I think that you believe that's the secret ingredient, is the confidence and way you hold yourself going into those conversations.
Yes. And I was actually having a conversation just earlier today about even where we speak from in our body. So there's something, sort of in the embodiment of your message. And if it's coming from your head, You know, it's often like, it's like when you ask somebody how they are and they're like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm great. I'm really good. You know? And if you ask someone, how are you doing? And they're like, oh, you know, I'm doing okay. And like the essence of being aware of your body and how your body is speaking. And it's like what your heart's saying and what your belly's saying and, you know, alongside your head. Cause it's really, it's often easy just to go down and be like, okay, so what are the things I want to say? And it really kind of, you're speaking from your head, your mind. And then not giving yourself the opportunity to tap into what's in your body, and the wisdom is in your body. They all work together. sometimes really well and sometimes really poorly and everything in between. But the checking in with the wisdom of your body and the knowing, your intuition, trusting and holding yourself there in service of your parent, service of your mom, service of your dad, and service of, I've had to make some tough calls, and specifically on behalf of my dad. And I've had to stand in a place that was extremely uncomfortable for both of us. But what I knew, like, it's like my body, and I can actually feel myself there. Like I can, and this is pretty close. This is only a couple of weeks ago. And it's like, I know I'm doing the right thing. And even as I say that again, I can feel the energy of that. Like I'm standing in absolute certainty of the call I had to make, the tough communication I had to have, but I did, like I knew it was absolutely necessary.
It's that being and doing that you talk about, right? It's that practicality. It's the check the things off the to-do list, to make sure you have the passwords to all the financial online banking, all that, you know, black and white stuff that seems easy to do because there's no heart involved, right? That's all the head talking, and that's the doing. Right. And it comes down to that being part, which is where it gets scratchy, which is where it gets uncomfortable. Tell me more about the being versus the doing, because I know this is a particular topic you're passionate about.
It absolutely is. And I've got these, I'm still working on some of my material. And one of the things I do have on my website right now is this is the kind of the being and the doing, acting in relationship with one another. And sometimes you need to get some doing out of the way before you can be. Cause it's like, you know, something that might be quite critical, or like, you know, you have to call an ambulance to go pick up your mom. And so you're not going to sit there and like necessarily check in and be like, oh, what's going on for me right now? You're like, no, my mom needs to make it to the hospital. We're out of here. Right. And so the doing, and this was a really, what I noticed after the fact is when my mom got diagnosed, I was doing, I was trying to fix, I was like action, action, action. What else can I do? What book can I read? What kind of food does she need? How do I like, it was just, I was in this constant flurry of doing. Oh, not only was it exhausting, but I had no idea what the impact that it was having on me, and quite frankly, on my mom. So it's like, they can happen simultaneously, and, you know, again, one before the other, but they have to act in, sort of a synergistic way, like as you flow through them and checking in with yourself and what you need, what you need first. And I could go on about that, in terms of taking care of yourself first and being with yourself first in order to really effectively be there for your parent, your mom, your dad. But the being is often missed, or it can sort of just get caught up in not being necessary, or it's not on the to-do list, so therefore it's not important. And I'm a huge advocate of how important that is, and finding the space to check in, especially with your loved ones, especially when you're planning the difficult conversation, especially if you want, you know, it's like being present for yourself. I can't remember the quote now, but there's this thing about, you know, sitting there and the presence that you create for yourself creates presence for others. And it's a gift that not only you can give yourself, but you can give your loved one. And this is broad. I mean, this isn't just about, you know, your parents. It's not about your siblings. It's about any relationship that you're in. It's about any interaction that you have with the person that you're sitting across from, is being present for yourself in order to be present for them, and bring them the, you know, because joy is my thing. You know, I think about like the possibilities that exist there. You know, rather than frantic stress, worry, like all those, there's such a different energy there that's like vibrating, and the energy of presence is just so much. It's just things, there's space, things become clear, and it allows you to really understand and hear what the needs of the other person are as well. So it's like a, you know, it's like a cycle. I don't know. I'm not necessarily using the right word there, but really it's like a flow. That's what I wanted to say. It's like a flow.
I like that quote. I'll have to look it up and put it in the show notes, because it is like, and being present for yourself is a present for other people, or is presence. You could use the word presence for other people. So like the holding the physical space, or just being there for other people in a strong and supportive, courageous way. But it's also presence like the gift, right? You giving your whole self, showing up for other people because you are feeling healthy and balanced and reasonably well harmonized within yourself. So it kind of has two meanings for me as I was hearing you describe it, which is very, very cool. I need to think about that one for a while.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons why. And this, so the first webinar that I'm doing, and will be doing lots more in the future, is self-care. Mm-hmm. Self-care first, looking after yourself first, so that you can be there for the other person. And so it's everything about, you know, making sure that you don't get burnt out. It's making sure that you're not experiencing stress. It's making sure that you're sleeping well. It's making sure that all these things that, you know, nourish you, which can sometimes feel selfish, which is quite funny. It's like, well, I can't do that. I can't fit. Like, if I'm looking after myself, then I'm ignoring the needs of the other person. But it's like flipping that around, or looking at it from a different perspective, is by taking care of the needs of yourself, that's where the kind of the magic is, because it just automatically helps you look after the other person better. It helps you show up with more strength. It helps you show up with more with calm, with the compassion, you know, with the tools that you really need to be good at it.
And I imagine that your parent wants that for you, right? Just because the roles have reversed where you are becoming the caretaker doesn't mean that they're not still your parent and that they only want the best for you like they have your whole life, you know? And so if I think about it from that perspective, even though, you know, you would be working as hard as you can to now care for your parent, they would never want you to do it at the expense of yourself, which I think is something really important to think about as well. So insightful. There's so many things I need to think about now. This interview is very personal because, you know, like you and I are the same age. And it gets me thinking. And I know my sisters and I have talked about this before, and my sisters-in-law, and my husband and I have talked about these things before, but it's definitely brought up lots of good stuff and lots of good strategies on how to open the door to those conversations. So I appreciate that for sure. And I know my mom listens to this podcast, so that'll be an easy in. That's an easy door to the conversation. Hey, mom, did you check out Jenny's podcast?
Well, you know, that's, I think that, and hi, mom. hi, Lindsay's mom. I think that's like, it's the earlier you start, the better. And as I was, you know, really contemplating this work and, you know, where like, you know, it is often at that more acute time that we start to enter into it. Like, oh my gosh, we have to, like now we have to, there's things we have to understand. And sometimes our parents are then in a place where they're not as capable of communicating back to you as they would have been a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years earlier. So I think of it as, the earlier, the better, like start having the conversations as soon as you can. It's easier when somebody doesn't have, you know, their morbidity shining a light in front of them. And for both parties, for both the child and the parent. And the sooner that you can be having these conversations, the sooner that you can be making sure your will is done and all like I was talking about the care plans and a personal directive and all these sort of to-do list items that become extremely burdensome in the moment of when you absolutely have to get them done. And there's often pushback and challenge. And so, yeah, huge recommendation to moving towards that as soon as you can with your parents so that you can enjoy. Because I think this is one of the biggest parts of my message, is kind of getting the to-do lists out of the way. And I'm working on a to-do list, by the way, so people can sort of start thinking about those, is so that you can be with your parents, that you can spend time with them, that you can, you know, be with whatever in terms of your relationship. Like maybe you have an amazing relationship with your parent and you want that to continue for as long as you possibly can. Maybe you've had a challenging relationship with your parent and you're looking for ways that you can start to open up some new ways of being with each other before they pass. You know, you, and there's other versions of that as there is for everyone, but the stuff that you have to get in the way the stuff that you have that might get in the way of that, depending on how much time you have left with your parent, like the sooner the better. Cause again, then you can just be with them. You know, I went for a walk yesterday with my mom. And we're pretty good at the being now, because a lot of being with each other, because a lot of the stuff has been finalized. Well, it had been years ago, but I'm not caught up in dealing with the medical system as much. Everything legal has been finalized. Like my mom even has her funeral paid for. And so there's lots of things, a whole range of things you can do to prepare. But we go for a walk yesterday and I was telling her about that. I was doing this interview today and she's like, oh, okay. So, you know, and we just started talking about what's important and what I wanted to share. And she got so animated. She really, I hadn't seen her like that in a while. Like she felt, she was excited for me. And she like was just interjecting ideas. Well, she talked about how important it is to go for a walk and how important stuff like this is. And I was like, yes, like, thank you, mom. Thank you for the advice and the idea. And thank you for being here with me and allowing us to have this time. And it's in these little moments that wouldn't be possible without clearing out a lot of the other stuff. And it's these little moments. And I believe that's where hope lives. That's where joy lives. Like it's these little snippets of things, especially when in the roller coaster, you know, that is dealing with these sorts of things with your parents, is just those moments of joy. And it's like the anticipation of it, the next time it happens. And what other opportunities can I create for this? We just got my mom an Alexa, which is fantastic because now she can listen to music and do these sorts of things. And I'm just like, you know, my mom loves music. My mom loves to dance. She loves to sing. And so, yeah, it's like these little moments of opportunity that get opened up and, you know, that you can just be with them and enjoy them and Because yeah, who knows how long mom's going to be here. I hope it's for quite a while, a bit longer, but if not, I'm creating these moments that are having a real impact on her, having a real impact on me, having a real impact on my son. And I'm just really grateful.
I know how important hope and joy and compassion and gratefulness is to you. And you've shared a lot of that over the last little while in our time here together. But I ask one final question to all of my guests, and that is, Jenny, what gives you hope?
I think I stole the thunder on that by what I was just talking about. And I thought a lot about this. What gives me hope? I'm just going to check in. What gives me hope is the little things. It is the little things. It's the little moments. It's the little moments of appreciation. I have them with my son. When he tells me that he loves me, when I do something for another person, or I see something being done for another person that brings these little sparks of joy. And, you know, my hope for the world is that there's more of that and people can find their way towards that. But for me right now, in this moment of how I see the world and I see my relationship with my mom, and as I keep doing my best and doing what I can for her, is those moments of laughter and the little spark, the joy, the little things, and all those things start to culminate. And I feel like it sort of moves us forward with more momentum if we're paying attention to those things. It's like when you slow down and you notice the little things, it makes hope more possible. I just have this like visual in my mind, and you can see me moving here. It's just sort of that, like, it's kind of like a train, and as it's starting to get going, and like the more you see, the more you notice, the more it moves us forward and sort of moves up the hill and, you know, gets us towards greater joy, greater hope, greater opportunity, greater possibility, greater passion, greater love. All that.
You bring greater joy and love and passion. Jenny, this has been an exceptional conversation. You lead with such compassion. You lead with such intelligence and practicality. I learned a ton in the last however long we've been talking, half an hour, 45 minutes, I don't know. And the time has gone by really fast. And I just appreciate you and your person and all you bring to the world. So thank you very much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you, Lindsay. It's been an absolute pleasure. You made this way easier than I thought it was going to be. So thank you so much.
Glad to hear it. I'll talk to you soon. I hope you enjoyed this latest episode of the Hope Motivates Action podcast. These episodes are a labor of love. Inspiring conversations with hopeful people make my heart happy. If you also love this episode, it would be amazing if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. 5 stars if you're into it. It's these reviews that encourage Apple to promote this podcast to their network. And the more people that listen, the more hope we can spread into the world. Don't forget to check out the show notes of this episode to find all the links to my guests, books, and other resources referenced in this episode. You'll also find the link back to my website, where you will find additional support and resources for you, your team, and your community. I truly believe that the future will be better than today by taking action over the things we can control. And hearing from these guests on these episodes, I know that even more hopeful future is totally possible. I'm always looking for inspirational guests, so if you or anyone you know would like to be a guest on the show, please reach out. You can find me on the contact form of my website at expertinhope.com or by email at lindsay@expertinhope.com. When I was a teenager and my sisters were leaving the house to go out for the night, I always made it a point to remind them to call me if they need me. It was my way to tell them that I cared and would always be there for them. I'd love you to know the same, so all of you listening out there, call me if you need me. Again, thank you for your love and support of this podcast, my work in hope, and your intentional focus on making your future better than today. After all, hope without action is just a wish.